Good. Excellent. Okay, great. Welcome to everyone. I'm Peter, and this is Kirsty. We'll introduce ourselves in a minute. Actually, before we do anything else, I'd like to start with a bit of arriving. By that, I mean just spending a minute or two in a mindful way, just sort of settling and noticing how you are in your body. I'll guide us into this. So just treat it as a moment of, how do you call it? I guess pausing and resting into how you are, not trying to make yourself feel better. You might feel better, that's great, but just noticing how we are. So for this, you can be still, have your eyes open, eyes closed. It just takes a couple of minutes. And it just helps us to settle into our bodies and into being here also. So you might, rest your vision ahead of you, or have your eyes closed, whatever feels right for you. And just begin to sense your body, and particularly how it's supported. Sense the chair or whatever it is you're sitting on, supported by, and letting it hold your weight. Sometimes we forget to kind of rest into it. So let yourself be held by whatever you're sitting on. And then from there, noticing your skin, your clothes, your kind of outer edges of your body. And then from there, also noticing inside yourself right now. How does it feel in there? Maybe sensing your breath, your throat, your belly, your chest. Just the kind of qualities, feelings, sensations of what it's like to be here now. What's in it? Could be all okay in there, or maybe there's things moving about, feelings. Or maybe your mind is kind of full of thoughts about something. Just noticing, however it is for you right now, noticing how you are. Like we're kind of saying hello to ourselves or greeting ourselves in this moment. And particularly being, it's acknowledging anything in you that's struggling in your life or right now. Any parts of you that might be having a hard time that you notice right now, you could acknowledge, oh, that's there. So it's like a big welcoming attitude to whatever's there. Even if it's a struggle to be here, that's okay. So just spend another half a minute quietly noticing. And then gently bringing that to a close. Okay.
Hello, Peter. Sorry to be late.
That's all right. We just arrived just at the right moment. We just finished a little arriving. Peace.
Sorry.
Okay. So, and welcome to anyone else who's arrived in meanwhile. So, very briefly, yeah. Hello from me. We'll introduce ourselves very briefly. So I'm Peter Gill. I'm a teacher of a practice called focusing, which I'll tell you about in a minute. And I'm a parent. And this is what we're here to discuss, the meeting of those two. Like, how can I've been teaching this practice 15 years, and yeah, it's and I've applied it in the realm of parenting. So that's what we're here to share. That's super brief, but that's me. Kirsty, do you want to quickly say hello?
Yeah, hi, I'm Kirsty. I'm a mum to a 9-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I'm also trained as a hand-in-hand parenting instructor, and that's a parenting approach that's very kind of congruent with focusing, and I'll be mentioning that a bit. And I was taught focusing by Peter quite a long time ago now, and I'm also a focusing-oriented therapist. And I love this meeting of focusing and parenting, so looking forward to kind of diving in.
Thanks. Great, Kirsty. Thank you. So very quickly, overview of today. It's we've got an hour to look at this topic around when we lose it with our children, and what might be happening there, and how can the tools of focusing be sort of applied in a moment, or help us to sort of deal with that as a general issue in our life. And also, you know, we'll be touching on how some of the skills and aspects of focusing can be used with your children. You know, there'll be some on that, some touching on those topics as well. That's what we're up to. I'll begin with just a little explanation of focusing. Is anyone here new to it? It doesn't matter if you are, I'll be curious. Has anyone here not heard of it, or someone new one? So yeah, okay, I'll say a bit about it. In essence, really, it's a very natural ability most of us have to some extent, of being able to listen to sort of beneath all our usual thoughts and kind of noise, stuff that goes on up here, like listen to your body and listen to what you truly feel in there. Some people call it a kind of intuition almost, but it's like that capacity to really listen to that inner voice that we have. So focusing is a point to that skill that, you know, everyone has to some extent. But a lot of us find it hard to access that because we live in a very disembodied culture, and individually speaking, we might feel quite disembodied ourselves, and not very, we spend a lot of time thinking and our. But yeah, focusing is an invitation to kind of to feel like, what does a body know? What's the wisdom of the body? So it can be done in various different ways. I mean, often it's done in a peer practice, like a kind of mutual peer. So it's sort of not, and that's completely outside of a therapeutic environment. You know, it's a therapeutic practice. In other words, it makes us feel better, let's say. But it's done in a peer, just like dyads. You could do it alone, you know, and it also often gets mixed with other disciplines. So yeah, Kirsty mentioned being a focusing-oriented therapist. So some people work with it in their professional practice as a therapist or counselor or body worker. So it can be mixed really beautifully with lots of different practices. It's history really. It comes out of philosophy and psychotherapy and some research that was done back in spanning 50s and 60s. In what makes therapy work for people, or what doesn't. And what they discovered was that people who paused and went inside and checked their words as they were speaking, those people made progress. So in other words, the people who listened inwardly to their bodily experience or to what was true, not just talked, those people made progress. So that discovery led to this whole sort of, many different dimensions of focusing as it's now taught. So that's a very, very quick overview of focusing. And it's been, been something I've been practicing and teaching for 15 or more years. And Kirsty, do you want to add anything about just to what I've said? Anything jump out?
No, I think that's covered it all. Thanks, Peter.
Great. And so, yeah, our topic really and is around, the title says it all really, how to lose it less with your kids. I decided not to call it how to not lose it because I still lose it. How to lose it less would be more truthful. How to lose it less with our kids. So I wondered, we're going to explore really what something around that moment of losing it. So I'm going to invite us into a bit of reflection really about that. Now, and before I do that, I want to say, you know, it's entirely normal. You know, this is something that happens to every parent I meet. This happens to some degree. You know, we lose it, we shout, we say something we don't want to, we act in ways we don't want to, or make ridiculous threats or shame, or, you know, we do all sorts of things when we get triggered and lose it. That's just part of, for me, being part of parenting. So it's sort of normal, and it's part of the territory. And, you know, focusing has helped me to bring that, yeah, to sort of begin to shift that, so it happens less, and so I'm more compassionate when it does, to both myself and what happens around me. So, yeah. So what I want to do is kind of invite you to reflect a bit about a time when that happened recently, when you know, I'm not necessarily talking about like when you got a little frustrated or a bit, you know, but like when you kind of like, you really knew you lost it. We know the feeling, don't we? Afterwards, oh God, I wish I didn't do that. You know, you might feel remorse or you know, something has gone beyond what was needed. Something inside you got triggered, right? That's what I'm talking about, that kind of moment. So I'm going to invite you to remember that a bit. And then I'm going to give you some invitations to reflect on that. So you need pen and paper, just going to write it down a little bit. And so just kind of a bit of reflecting and writing. I'll do it too. Just a few minutes, and then we'll share a little bit about what we noticed. Okay. And it's quite, you know, I will also say here, you know, it's very easily, you know, what comes when we remember this kind of moment is we get some part of us that's critical of ourselves. You know, a lot of some shame and some regret might be there with it. So just, in a way, that's part of the territory, but try to sort of sense it from a distance. It's a bit like we're kind of zooming out and go, wow, what happened there? What happened in that moment when we lost it? So maybe just thinking a little bit about what kind of feelings are there in your like physical sensations and also emotions, just like list a few of those sort of, what do you notice, you know, just in everyday language about anger and frustration. So just write down what some feelings and but also physical sensations in your body that you might remember from that moment, and just touching in on it. And also, what kind of thoughts happen around it? Make a little space for those sort of things as well. What kind of thoughts, like maybe in the moment, but also afterwards, or leading up to it, or just like just if that's easy to recall, what kinds of things you end up thinking? What kinds of things do you tell yourself? Let it come as freely as it wants to on the page. So it's like, what are the ingredients of this moment where we lose it? Let's say, what are the ingredients? And maybe reflect also, last question would be like, what leads up to it? What are the kind of, it's like a perfect storm, isn't it? So what are the conditions of that storm for you? Also make a bit of space for those on your paper. So let's have a bit of sharing around that. So feel free to share anything you've written or something you discovered or just a thought, a question, a kind of anything that you noticed around that. Hi, Suzanne. Welcome.
Hi. Sorry for being late. I had a family issue.
Okay, there we go. We've just been talking. Well, we've just been reflecting on what happens when we get when we lose it, when we get triggered. And so there we go. Maybe it's relevant, but yeah. So I've just asked people to reflect a bit on that, and they're going to share now. So anything that, yeah, anything you want to, maybe just any feelings, sensations, let's list it. Let's share some of those first.
Found wanting to stamp, shout, bang things, shake things, wave my arms about, be very demonstrative.
Yeah, I hear that. Like the physicality, like with your whole body, it feels like it's there. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah.
Just one thing that I mentioned is like being highly stressed and overwhelmed. Just kind of makes you completely, actually, it makes you react, just react, and doesn't really allow any second to think or, yeah.
Yeah.
Being aware of it as well. So being, yeah.
So overwhelmed and kind of reactive, and there's no time to think.
Mm.
But then did he also say you're also aware of it?
Kind of yes and kind of no. It's just, yeah, I think being really overwhelmed, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for hearing it. Yeah, I get it. It's funny, you can, I have a sense, I don't know if this is true for you, but it's almost like a bit of me's watching me doing it, going, why are you doing this? Why are you saying, like I'm saying ridiculous things again. And like, and it's but it's not enough to stop it. But it's enough. Anyway, I don't know if that makes sense. But sometimes, sometimes even that's not there. But occasionally, there's a little bit of a witness going, well, this is what's happening. Yeah. But thanks. Yeah, exactly. There's very little time to do anything. Just kind of go, oh, I wonder what to do. It's not like that, is it? Like it's taken over by something.
Yeah. In that same sense, I kind of, I find that there's a lot of almost like grunts or like frustrated sounds that aren't necessarily clear words. And I wrote down blurting out, just that sense of almost not really exactly that, having had quite a lot of, I think, thought in the control up to the build up, because I can kind, because often I'd say there's a repetitive pattern. Mm-hmm. So I'm sensing that it's not going well, perhaps because of the conditions that I'm under, and recognize that. But then before I know it, it's what you were saying, that sort of sense of, I just lose all concept of thought or being or state for a split second.
Mm-hmm.
And yet then the very quickly, then the other emotions of the regret of it kick in when you're trying to pull yourself back out.
Thank you. Yeah, for sharing all that. Exactly. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So it's funny also you say, like, you can feel it building or something coming. Like, we, and I'm sure this is familiar with all of us, and something like we kind of, and still it happens. You kind of see the storm brewing, and then, yeah. So that's an important moment, actually, I think, which we'll probably dwell a bit on our course when we do, you know, that kind of, we can feel it. We can. So that's something, there's a signal there, isn't there, in our body or somewhere in us that's kind of, something's coming, you know, it's escalating, or it's what we can feel, and yeah, and sometimes it's a moment where we can perhaps bring a bit of a pause in. That's what I found. Great, thank you. Yeah, I put words that struck me when I put down here, that lack of control and I don't know what to do, like there's a kind of the moment that's what I'm struggling with, like I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to meet this being who's bringing all this energy to me. Or I don't know how to meet this situation. It's like it's powerless. Something about being powerless that I find very difficult to be with. Like, yeah, I'm sure it touches something older. But that's just one to share that piece with you. For me, it's something around being, not having any way of doing anything and a sense of powerlessness. Svetlana, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say I really identify with that powerlessness. It's just like this snap flash of anger that's just is ahead of me. I'm not, you know,
right.
I'm talking rationally, or I'm trying to break up my sibling, my children from fighting, and then I've just lost it. And I it's almost a reflection. I'm like, how did that happen? Because I started talking, and then it just that blurting, and I just went into this, you know, and then I catch myself afterwards, and then it's the kind of trying to not backpedal because I don't want to confuse them, but emotionally I'm completely backpedaling.
Right.
But trying, you know, calming down, but not at the same time not wanting to completely confuse them by backpedaling too much.
No, it's right. It's a complex moment, isn't it? I think that's it's very particularly, you know, like sometimes I sort of say things I regret. So I've got, that's something, some repair work to do, you know, at some point later on. I'm not really big into punishment, but I might say, right, you're not having that for blah, 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 a couple of weeks. And I'm like, I know that's ridiculous and I'm completely unachievable in my life. So I have to kind of work out what to do with that, you know, now I've said that. So yeah, it's complex. And then anyway, let's hear from other people too. I'll talk about this at length, but it's just a couple more minutes and then we'll switch. Hi. Oh, do you want to, Anne from the USA?
For me, I'm more on the immobilized.
Ah, yeah, right.
I can't say a whole word because I have the first syllable, but the next one's not coming. Even if it's a simple word as no, it doesn't come out.
Yeah.
As that's has something to do around my kid coming to hit me or us threatening with knives or doing things like that.
No, so for you, it's more of an immobilization, rather than being a lot of energy, it's more like immobilizing. Thank you for sharing that. That's exactly also the territory. Sometimes it doesn't explode outwards. It turns into immobilizing. Exactly. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, it can be so challenging. You know, just what you said there, Anne, and my son can be very aggressive with me, and I really don't know how to meet it sometimes. One of the things I'd also want to name here is kind of this sort of like the weight of how I was parented, sort of somehow behind me. Like, they would have never gotten away with this. Or like, I would have never gotten away with this when I was a child, or that's not how you do it. Or so many kind of hovering opinions about how to parent, sort of pressing in. I don't know if that's me anyway, but I'm sure hopefully it rings a bell. It kind of adds into the mix of that storm. Kirsty, do you want to add anything?
Just thinking as you were just saying about having these sort of thoughts and sort of stories hovering around, and one of mine is something about being a failure as a parent, because you know, they're behaving like this because I'm such a failure. You know, if I was doing parenting right, they wouldn't be behaving like this and that. And it's taken me to sit with it and focusing to actually untangle and see all the different parts of what's going on, and to actually notice that there's this thing of I'm taking this so personally, whereas, you know, like objectively they're just a child, and it's not, you know, it's not that I'm a failure as a parent, but that can kind of drive my reaction. And just struck by the real fight flight quality of you know, what happens to us when we do get triggered in those moments, being immobilized, you know, losing control, and just that thing of not being able to think straight. And we know that when we are flooded with emotion, you know, the thinking part of our brain does, you know, switch off, and it's just really tough. And that powerlessness that you were talking about, Peter, as well. Yeah.
Thanks. It's great to name those stories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, do you want to carry on, because you say a bit more about Yeah, because Kirsty's going to chat for a bit about another dimension of this. So yeah, thanks everyone for sharing. Yeah, do you want to carry on?
Oh yeah. How long have I got, do you think?
I'd say
10 minutes.
Yeah, around that. Sort of between 5 and 10. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, so I just wanted to sort of talk a bit about what's going on when we lose it, sort of from a kind of psychological perspective. And I find it really helpful because I think it unpicks kind of what's going on, and it helps me to be kinder to myself, and it also points to, well, what can I do about this? So hopefully it will be helpful. And it sort of applies to times where we lose it, and I think it was Mackie that talked about like repeated patterns. So it's like when we lose it repeatedly in similar situations, and it's also when the reaction seems out of proportion to the actual situation. And when those two things happen, it's often that, you know, feelings from the past are actually being activated in us without us really realizing. And this happens via a kind of mechanism called implicit emotional memory, which I'll say a bit more about in a minute. And we've kind of touched on this, but it's sort of like, you know, when it happens, you know, certainly in my experience, there's a real discrepancy between sort of my kind of cognitive understanding of how I would like to respond and the fact that I just feel really out of control and can't access a kind of better way to respond. And it's so common in parenting, and it's this sort of sense of, it's like situations with our children can kind of bring up sort of emotional unfinished business from the past, and often specifically from our own experiences as children. So it's a bit like this sort of unfinished business is a bit like a kind of backpack that we carry around. And we don't really realize we're carrying it, but stuff gets kind of triggered from our backpack without us really realizing it. Because probably all of us have had kind of emotional experiences from the past where we didn't really get the, you know, emotional support or response that we needed. And it can be, you know, a lack of kind of connection, our feelings being dismissed, experiences of shame, experiences of harshness. Times when adults kind of use their power over us in different ways to varying degrees. And we know that when these sort of emotional experiences aren't able to be processed at the time, they're not able to receive the right kind of support and attention to kind of move through us. They sort of stay stuck in our systems as stored feelings in our kind of emotional backpacks outside of our conscious awareness usually. And what's going on is that if we think about kind of memory systems, it's a particular form of memory that a lot of us don't really know about that's sort of getting activated. So in a sort of basic way, there's two forms of memory, implicit and explicit. And explicit memory is the kind of memory that, when we think of memory, we sort of know about, we're familiar with it. It kind of develops when we're about to, when these memories are laid down, we're kind of conscious of the experiences as they're happening. And when we remember the memories, we know we're remembering something. But implicit memory is very different to that. So it's present from early on, it's present from birth. And the memories are laid down without us having to be consciously aware of those experiences as they're happening. And when the memories are activated in us, we don't have a sense we're remembering anything. And that's the really important bit about when we're kind of triggered. We don't have a sense that, you know, there's an implicit emotional memory kind of being activated in us. All we feel are the kind of the non-verbals, the kind of emotions, the behavior, the body sensations. And implicit memory is also related to like overwhelming experience and trauma. There's a lot I could say, but we know that when overwhelming experiences are kind of, when we have those experiences, there's big floods of stress hormones, which actually cause the memory to be encoded in an implicit way, sort of not really in our conscious awareness. So when we're working, with these kind of triggers, part of what we need to do is actually give them the kind of processing and the attention that they, and the kind of support that they needed back then. And then they sort of literally in a neurobiological way sort of move to a different memory system in the brain. So in terms of implications for us, it's like, actually, I mean, there's so much, personally speaking, you know, there's been so much shame and guilt, you know, about times when I've lost it with my children. And this understanding really helps me. It's like, well, no wonder it's hard to control this. This is what's going on. No wonder it's hard to change. And no wonder it keeps, you know, happening again and again, in spite of, you know, my best intentions. You know, it's a whole process that's going on. So we can move to like a reframe of, oh, I'm such a, you know, terrible parent, to actually, this is something in me that's kind of being touched, that you know, some, you know, sort of implicit emotional memory that's being touched, that actually is calling for attention and healing. And it's really hard to control in the moment, as we've been talking about, and there are things we can do in the moment, which we'll come on to later. But, you know, what this understanding means is that we can kind of work with these triggers outside of those moments. And focusing is one way to do that. It helps us identify the different components of what's going on and kind of be with those parts of us in a kind of way that allows them to kind of heal and move forward. And, you know, I just found it so helpful when I realized this. It's like, well, these trigger moments, rather than being signs of my failure as a parent, they're actually, it's actually an invitation to self-care and self-compassion. You know, this is, there's something from the past that really suffered that's in my system that I'm not totally aware of that's coming up. Something in me is like calling for care, actually. Yeah, I've been just thinking of a little exercise we could do. So in focusing, focusing is really helpful for helping us sort of disentangle all the different parts of our experience and our emotions, and it becomes like, it's like a sort of psychological landscape of parts. Like, we can kind of see all the different bits and learn to kind of relate to them rather than sort of be them. And it can be helpful to try out kind of a different sort of language around it. So I'm just gonna say some sentences. There's probably two or three different sentences I'll say about they're kind of relating to experiencing emotion. And after I say each one, I'll pause and just maybe just sort of get a feel for how that sentence kind of feels, and whether there's any differences that you notice in your response or your feeling in relation to the different sentences. I'm going to use the word furious because there was a trigger moment yesterday where I felt furious. But if there's a different word that kind of fits for you. So settling into yourself for a second and sensing into yourself a bit. So the first sentence is, I am furious. So just taking that in and just seeing if there's a kind of felt quality to how that feels in you. I am furious. And then the next sentence is, something in me is furious. Something in me is furious. Noticing how that feels and how it compares to the first one. And there's a third one, which is, I am sensing something in me that's furious. I am sensing something in me that's furious. I'm just noticing how that one lands with you and how it relates to the others. Yeah, I just wondered if there was anything anyone wanted to share about kind of what they noticed, just reflecting on those three different sentences.
Maybe just that when you said about like the first sentence, that it brought me right into the situation. So to the second sentence, it changed immediately to more an observing, like I immediately felt more like observing.
Yes.
And the third was actually quite difficult.
Yes.
Maybe because I made a note in between as well. I didn't kind of stay with, but the third was a bit more, had a different quality again to the second sentence.
Yes.
But not sure what that was.
That's fine. Yeah, don't worry too often, just do it with the two, but I thought I'd add the third in, so don't worry too much about the third. But sense of being a bit more of an observer in the second one, there's something in me. Yeah. Thank you.
I felt quite a strong, like for me, the first sentence was here, right on my chest. I could physically feel it at the top of my skin.
Yes.
And then the second sentence just went deeper and I couldn't feel it present at the front of my body.
Yes.
And then the third, I kind of was almost felt like I was searching rather than feeling, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. So is it that it's sort of like there's a little bit of distance from it in the second? Is that?
Yeah, definitely. But it doesn't feel as, it just doesn't feel as present. Just it's removed, a layer removed almost.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
I had a feeling with the first one of sort of being quite powerful or liberated.
Yes.
One felt like, oh no, I have to make it small again. Something, you know, sort of. And then the third one felt more kind of good, as in I am, it was like I come back in, I am sensing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah. Yes, and the I can often be, it's a sense of, I'm not, the fury hasn't taken over me. It's like, I'm still here, my strength and groundedness, and here's the fury. But I also loved what you said about the first one, because sometimes maybe that's what's needed. You know, it's like, actually, I want to feel I am furious, and that might feel really good and what's needed. I can sometimes find it helpful when I need to sort of take a step back and not be so kind of driven by an emotion. It's like, well, actually, it's a part of me, and it helps me access the part of me that isn't sort of completely furious or whatever whatever I'm feeling. How are we for time? I had a sort of mini example of working with this, but I don't have to. I'm not sure how we are.
Yeah, you probably better move on to the next bit now. Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I wish we had more time, but that's great. Thanks, Kirsten. Yeah, I like that, what you said around, you know, like, when we get triggered, it's something in you calling for care. And that word something really fits there. So whether you do it in that moment or not is debatable, but something in you needs some care. There's something there. Something's being triggered. Some triggered or activated or brought alive. Or, I mean, it's really important to find language that isn't judgmental around this. or at least, maybe just saying that.
Yeah, can I just add,
there's
a trauma therapist called Bonnie Badenoch, and she uses the words touched and awakened.
Yeah, something right.
Is being kind of from the past, is being touched and awakened.
Exactly. Yeah, thanks for saying that. Yeah, and it may not, in a way, and we know it doesn't really belong being directed at our children, but that doesn't mean it doesn't, in some way, want some healing from us. Yeah, and so anyway, just to say that it's asking for some attention. So, Kirsty and I now are going to share a little bit about how this practice of focusing has helped us in parenting, and then Kirsty will say a little bit about this hand-in-hand approach. Right, I'm just reading the comment. Yeah, great. Right, so you remembered the kind of when does this comment from Anne here exactly? You remembered you would freeze when you were smaller, something, and you would have that same physiological kind of response exactly. Yeah, it's part of this implicit memory, I think, that it's been spoken of, or yeah, this younger place that gets triggered now. Yeah, thank you. We'll take maybe like how long each, maybe just like 3 minutes each or something, Kirsty, something brief, but just a bit about how we use this practice. That thing we just touched on now, I use it quite a lot. I call it like an emergency something moment. Something in me is getting furious. Something in me is going to hit the wall. And I don't know how many times out of 10, but I catch it sometimes. I go, oh, okay, I need a moment. So noticing it as a part of me, it's not all of me. Something in me is getting really angry. And that can help in the moment, literally just doing that. I'm not saying out loud, just because I do this practice quite a lot, I can kind of internalize it, but I take a pause and I go, all right, something in me is feeling so furious or so wound up or so, and I just give myself a bit of time to feel it in that way. It's not all of me, it's something in me. And then I have something called time out. Now, this isn't for my child, this is for me, time out. I know some people do time out with their own children, and that's a whole discussion, but actually, I find it for me pretty helpful sometimes to just walk away and say, I even say to my son, right, I'm going to use the garden for a few minutes so I don't say anything I regret. I mean, he's still shouting at me while that's going on because we're already disconnected by that point. But then I can just take myself out of the situation and give myself some grounding and like some self-care, self-compassion. You know, that's find that really helpful, time out. And then, yeah, and then exploring the topic afterwards. So the focusing, like I said, is this peer practice that we can do. Kirsty and I meet regularly to do this. I have other people I meet with too. So I can give that moment of explosion, that some time, and I go, and I remember it. So I'm not in it anymore. My body's no longer flooded with those fight and flight hormones and physiology. And I can, later on, I can go, wow, what happened there? Something in me was really... So what is that? What's kind of, and I can get curious and really feel into it and really give compassion to that part of me and healing actually, to that younger, inevitably really, some younger part of me, not always, but some younger part of me that might have been really hurt before and still feels angry or still feels sad or it wants to tell. So I can kind of take my compassionate awareness and give that part of me some healing. So, and then next time it will get, it's less likely to be triggered, you know, because I've given it something it needed. So I find it a very healing practice, not in the moment, well, in the moment a little bit, but it's more like as a sort of ongoing thing in my life, you know, having this place where I can explore what's going on for me as a parent. Maybe that's enough for me. Kirsty, do you want to add anything into your side of it?
There's just so much I could say. It's just helped me so much. And when I was preparing for the last webinar we did on this a few months ago, I was talking to my husband and I told him that it's about losing it. And he said, oh, actually, you used to lose it loads with our daughter when she was little. And God, you stopped doing that. And she's now 9, so it's been quite a while. And I was like, yeah, actually, that is really true. So it does work. And it's, I think, echoing what Peter said about having the kind of space to go back over you know, those kind of explosive moments and just sort of disentangle it in a kind of, you know, calm way, see all the different parts. And, you know, as Peter said, with focusing, you're sort of dropping beneath the surface a bit. So you actually come into contact with things that you, you know, you weren't aware you were thinking or feeling, that can be so helpful and help to shed so much light on sort of my reaction. And with these sort of younger parts of us that, that get triggered, that's just been so helpful to me to really get in touch with that, because I can really see, I used to lose it a lot when my son was about three and he was being deliberately defiant, and objectively I knew that it's completely age appropriate, it's healthy, it's not a big deal, I just need to be light and playful and set warm limits to his behavior if I need to, you know, it's not, but I would just feel this rage. And through focusing, I realized there was a part of me as a child that was really on the receiving end of a very harsh and zero tolerance approach to any whisper of healthy natural defiance. And that really explained why there was this discrepancy. It's like, I know, I've got all the tools, I've studied parenting, I know how, you know, to respond, but I can't do it in that moment. I'm absolutely, you know, I was yanking his arm, you know. So and so it's like real self-compassion, and those younger parts need three things. They need to be able to express, you know, like, oh, I just, you know, I really want to just throw peas on the floor, and that's normal for a three-year-old. They need someone to really kind of hear how much they suffered, and they need a sort of, like Peter was saying, like a reparative sort of experience, like getting what they needed back then. So empathy, attention, being able to express themselves, non-judgment. And focusing is just perfect. It's basically based on this sort of radical acceptance and compassion, and it guides you through ways of kind of really developing that kind of relationship with all your different kind of parts. So it's a very, very healing practice. Yeah, I'm aware of the time. Uh-huh. Could say, and just, yeah, it's really increased my self-awareness. You know, I'm much more aware of like when I need to fill my own cup, really, and aware of my own needs. And just something about like in the moment strategies, because the focusing stuff is kind of, you know, looking at it all later, but in the moment when you sort of feel it happening, there's one hand in hand idea about actually just lying down. And I did this a few years ago where things were in the kitchen and things were just going pear-shaped, and I knew I was going to lose it big time, and I just lay down on the floor and the kids are sort of like, what? And it kind of diffuses things, and they sort of come over, and actually I sobbed because I think there was such suffering underneath my anger. And I said, I'm okay, I just need a bit of a cry, and mommy's okay, I'm just gonna have a little cry. And then it was literally miraculous, and I felt so much better afterwards and could get back into kind of dealing with them. So something to diffuse it, lie down. In homeschooling, when I was about to lose it, I'd often go to my husband's office in the garden and just be like, and just sort of offload for a couple of minutes and just get my thinking head back on, and then, you know, go back. Little things like grounding yourself, breathing. There's that exercise of 5-4-3-2-1 with your senses. So name five things you can see, four things you can touch, three things you can hear, smell, taste. Things like that, just to kind of... And then, yeah, I just want to say something about repair as well, because just finally, there's this lovely research in the field of attachment, you know, the quality of your relationship between yourself and your child, which is very, you know, we know that that's very central to their sort of emotional well-being. But actually, it doesn't have to be secure, good, attuned attachment all the time. There's this idea of one third kind of secure attachment, one third rupture where you're disconnected, and one third repair where you're apologizing, making up again. And that it's, you know, divided into those three thirds, secure, rupture and repair, that actually, you know, that is secure attachment. So you only need to be doing it a third of the time. And the repair part is what builds resilience. So actually, there's research that shows children who have had rupture in their relationship followed by repair are more resilient than those children who don't have much rupture at all. So the repair bit is like, and I'm getting much better at doing it more quickly rather than sort of stewing in resentment and being a bit rejecting. I can now much more quickly say, oh, I'm sorry, love, I totally lost it. That must have been a bit scary for you when I shouted like that. It's not your fault. I'm feeling a bit stressed or very stressed. And sometimes I can reconnect with a bit of jokey play, or I write a little note and put it on their bed, like some kind of peace offering. And that repair is really valuable and healing. Yeah.
Thanks. That's got really good to know that. That model you just shared, that third attachment.
Yeah.
Third rupture, third repair, that makes me feel something in me feel a lot easier. because many, I don't know, it's like it's easy to get the impression from parenting, some parenting approaches or books, or like you have to get it right all the time, you know. And if you don't, you're damaging your child. You know, like, and that's completely impossible, isn't it? And we can't do that. So it sounds very grounded and realistic. I love that. Thank you. I'm aware of time. I want to say a bit about the course coming up. We haven't really had time to talk about the hand in hand bit, did we? Should we leave that for now?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, maybe just to name it is that, Kirsty's called a practitioner, hand in hand practitioner.
Yeah, they call it instructor. I don't like
instructor.
That
word. Yeah, so it's a parenting approach really around connection, around valuing, you know, this sort of empathic connection with our children, how that's kind of it's at the heart of that approach, I'd say. And also when children feel disconnected, that they feel unsafe and frightened, and that's where a lot of behaviors come from. So like at the heart of it, I would say, is around connection. The main book is called Listen, and I like that. It's like it's about listening, and that's very, again, resonant and focusing. It's an approach of listening. So we'll be in the course that's coming up, we'll be drawing on some skills from there, some skills from focusing as well. So skills both to use with yourself, but also to use with your children. Some I found it really valuable in this approach. I mean, it's in a way, it's still something I'm learning about, but it's been tremendously valuable to have some of these tools from other places and focusing combined. So it's, I really recommend it. So in our course, we'll be touching on some of those. So it's a 6-week course. It starts on, let me just get my dates, 29th of April. So about just over a month. And it's at this time, so it's 11 o'clock on a Thursday, 6 Thursdays. And anyone can come to it. So if you don't know focusing, that's fine. We'll teach you bits of it or enough of it. If you do know focusing, that's also fine. There'll be a sort of space where you can practice. We've got kind of practice rooms. So we'll work out how to, So if you're not learning it, you can go and practice it. If you are learning it, you'll stay with one of us learning it. And it's an expansion on many of the things we've said here, really. We'll be looking more at this whole issue of what happens, the different parts of us that get taken that we get taken over by when we get triggered. We'll look at more about some of the strategies we can bring to that, some of the tools we can use with our children and with ourselves. And looking at this whole issue of connection, what does it really mean to be connected to our child? What does that feel like in our body? You know, what that says about our own history? Were we parented like that? Or if we weren't, what does that mean for us? What are we left with? What parts are we left with? So yeah, there's lots of territory to explore. I'm sure it'll be very rich. So anyway, that, just knowing that that's coming up. And any, we've got 2 minutes. Any questions that are just left over here that want to be asked, please bring them. About the course or about what we said today. Okay, let's leave it there. And so I'll be sending out some information about that and kind of what next email to anyone who's registered, anyone here. If you've got any questions, you know, just reply to one of the seminar reminders you've had, you can ask me, and I can filter that to me or to Kirsty if it's for her. And then, yeah, we'll leave it there for today. Thanks for showing up. It's great. Good to explore this topic. And, yeah, maybe see you again sometime.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Everyone.